We're going to finish our evening in the best place of all, in the Word of God, to, I trust, underline and punctuate and really climax all that the kids have learned this week and all that we as parents and as a church family want to share in the worship of the Lord Jesus. And so turn in your Bibles for a few moments this evening to John chapter 1. I couldn't resist such a very fitting passage that really frames what all of Bible Club has been about this week. John chapter 1. How many of you children this evening, or parents, I would encourage you even as a whole family, how many of you have read Chronicles of Narnia? Raise your hand if you're a Narnia family. C.S. Lewis, famous fictional account. And it's in Prince Caspian, if you remember, that Lucy returns to Narnia and Aslan speaks to her for the first time. This great, wise, mighty lion, this messianic, Christ-like figure, says to young Lucy, "Welcome, child." "Aslan," said Lucy, you're bigger." "That is because you are older, little one," he answered. "Not because you are," said Lucy. Aslan replied, "I am not, but every year you grow, you will find me bigger." I like that. That's the goal of Bible Club. That's the goal of John's Gospel. That's the goal of the whole Christian life, is it not? That our vision of Jesus would grow larger and larger and larger. That our view of him would become more and more accurate and a true understanding of the Lord Jesus, the Son of God, as he grows bigger and bigger in our minds and in our hearts. To do this, John begins in this breathtaking way, in these opening five verses. I want to read. Look there as John begins in his majestic prologue. John 1, verse 1. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him. And apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend or overcome it." Dear Father, in these remaining moments of a very special evening, already filled with songs and skits and truths about the greatness of your Son, the Lord Jesus, please help us by your Spirit, as you promised, as Jesus sent your Spirit to do, to bear witness, to open our blind eyes, to shine the light of Jesus, to open our hearts to the majesty of Jesus, the living Word. Help us, teach us tonight. In Christ's name we ask it. Amen. All right, children. In John chapter 1, you might have touched on this week. If you were listening to the scripture that I just read, what is this very special title, this unique name that the Apostle John gives to Jesus? It's all over this first chapter, and it's not really found hardly, almost nowhere else in the whole New Testament. It was a name he had before he was called Jesus, before he was called the Christ. It was what God's Son has always been. He's called the Word, right? In the beginning was the Word. How can you know someone if they never tell you anything about themselves, right? How can you have a friendship? How can you have a relationship if you don't know anything about that person? Well, how is it that God expresses himself? If God wanted to give a speech, what would it sound like? When God wants to share his heart, when he wants to reveal himself to us, how does God make himself known to us? In the second person of the Trinity, as we've just been hearing and singing tonight, in the Word, God the Son, Jesus, God's best sermon. That's the title for this little devotional tonight. God's best sermon. And we're going to look in these five short little verses at six things about the greatness of Christ. Six features of Jesus, the Word, so that we'll have a bigger and bigger and larger and larger view of His majesty and greatness. Whether for some of you, maybe for the first time, my prayer is that you would meet Christ tonight as He truly is. Not the Jesus of religion, not the Jesus of churchianity, but the true and living Christ of the Bible and of the New Testament from an eyewitness account here from John the Apostle. And for others of us who've known Him, that we would love Him and adore Him and worship Him more from this glorious text tonight. First of all, He is the eternal Word. Look there in verse 1 in your Bibles. The eternal Word. In the beginning was the Word. What's one of the most common things when you meet a new person? What's one of the most likely questions that you or they will ask first? Oh, nice to meet you, sir, ma'am. Where are you from? Where are you from? And that's precisely what John does here with the Lord Jesus. Here's why you need to know this Savior. Here's why you need to worship this Christ and believe in this person. It's because of where He's from. In the beginning was the Word. And this is John, a Jewish author. And so surely also he had Genesis chapter 1 in mind. In the beginning, God. How's it go, children? Genesis 1, the first verse in the Bible. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Everything else came into existence. Christ always existed. Uncreated, no beginning. Everything and everyone else has a starting point. Not Christ. Before history began, Jesus the Word was standing there. At the dawn of time, there stood God's Son. I mean, can you get your head around that? Let's imagine one last time without the wig. We'll jump in the time machine. And you go back 4, 5, 6,000 years to creation. And you go back beyond creation to when Satan fell. And then you go back before time began, and you go back another million, and another billion, and another gazillion, and another octillion years. We can't fathom that. It bursts our brain, doesn't it? God's still there, and Jesus is at His right hand. In the beginning was the Word, existing, presiding as the Lord. The self-revelation of the Father. Can I put it to you this way tonight? When you looked into the eyes of Jesus of Nazareth when He was on earth, John is telling us you were looking into the eyes of eternity. You met a man who never began, insofar as His divine nature. You met a man who had forever been the eternal Son of God. He wasn't just born. How does the Bible speak about Jesus? He was sent, right? God gave Him. He came down out of heaven, He often says. And so, friends, we have to realize only an eternal Christ like this can save us from our sins. Only an eternal Christ can take away our guilt and reconcile us to a holy God. Only an eternal Christ deserves all of our devotion and all of our worship for all of eternity. Number two, He's not only the eternal Word, He's also the intimate Word. Look there at verse 1 again. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was? What's it say? Does it say next to God? Does it say beside God? Does it say under God? No, what does it say? The Word was with God. And the Greek word here is more along the lines of facing God, towards God, before God. From all eternity, Jesus enjoyed the closest, most intimate personal relationship possible with His Father, face to face. God's Son was the darling of heaven, the apple of God's eye. As John will say down in verse 18, Jesus was the only begotten in the bosom of the Father. And already here in John's opening verse, the Christian doctrine of the Trinity is unfolding for us in all of its beauty, all of its majesty and mystery. one God, and yet more than one person in the Godhead, communing with one another from time immemorial. Number three, review, first of all, Christ is the eternal Word. Number two, Christ is the, it's not even 7 o'clock. Okay, 7:01. You can't be that tired. First of all, Christ is the eternal Word. Second of all, Christ is the intimate Word. Number three, He's the equal Word. He's the equal Word. We're still in verse 1. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Whoa, 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 whoa. This is a Jew speaking, I remind you again. They hated polytheism with a passion. They would die for monotheism. Shema Israel, Adonai Echad, Adonai Eloheinu. The Lord your God, the Lord is one. And you just said, there's a man who's God, the same as the Father is God. Welcome again to the glory of the Christian doctrine of the Trinity. John is declaring that this eternal Word, Jesus, was also God. There's two beings in the Godhead, each person fully sharing in all the deity, all the nature and the character of God. You could not say anything greater about Christ than this. The Word was God. The Jehovah's Witnesses love to twist and contort and pervert this phrase, but the meaning stands and the truth is unshaken. Let this sink in for a moment, friends. John has just said that whatever God was, Christ was. All that God is, Christ is, and always was, and always will be. Infinite, eternal, unchangeable, exalted, holy, unique, solitary. All that God is, the Word was. That's jaw-dropping truth about this Jesus of Nazareth, whom John leaned against his bosom and was one of his closest companions. It does not say that Christ was godly or divine or celestial or heavenly or angelic. Look at the text. It says the Word, and we know the Word is Jesus when you jump down to verse 14. John says here in verse 1, the Word was God. As the rest of the New Testament proclaims, Jesus is God. I love the way Kent Hughes puts it. This simple sentence in John 1, verse 1 is the most compact and pulsating theological statement in all of Scripture. It's that important. Can I put it to you this way? If John 1, verse 1 is false, then all 21 chapters of John are blasphemous, and John should have been crucified or stoned as well. Because all that he says about Jesus and what Jesus claimed and what Jesus did and who Jesus was heresy. If the Word was not God, if Jesus is not God the Son. Number four, review. Jesus, first of all, was the eternal Word. We worship him because he's the intimate Word. Number three, he is the equal Word. Number four, he's the creating Word. All of nature, all that we see around us in this vast world. Children, you learned this week, and Uncle Joey left us hanging. He only mentioned the sparrow and the beaver. But remember, what were the other things? I could think of, well, you can help me. What else did you learn about this week? Sparrow, beaver, what else? What's that? What's that? Oh, yeah, St. Bernard, thank you. Yes, right, I got that, yes. And then? Lion? Yeah, so what was the fifth one? I've got sparrow, beaver, St. Bernard, lion. Lamb. Ah, there we go. How did all these creatures get there? Including the little insects in the skit that don't actually exist. What were those? Skitter doodles? Skitterbug? Okay. Something like that. Everything we see, everything we don't see, all of creation was put there by the Word. whatever the Father does, the Son does, John says in chapter 5. When God made the world, he chose not to do it alone. He chose to involve an executive, an agent, a mediator, who would assist him in every part of universe making. Jesus, the Word. He was in the beginning with God. And verse 3 tells us, all things came into being through him. And apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. Think about it. How many billions of stars do they estimate are in this one Milky Way galaxy that we find ourselves in? Estimates are around about 200 billion stars just in our galaxy. And we are probably just one of some 200 billion other Milky Ways and other galaxies. And Jesus put all of it there. And God spun all of it into existence through the agency of his Son, through Christ at his right hand as co-creator, the glorious, a cosmic creating Christ who commands, and all things come into being. Every atom and molecule in this whole universe came into being through Christ. What's a memory verse, kids? Colossians 1. Say it if you remember it with me, right? For by him, Christ, all things were created, both in the heavens and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All, let's say it together, all things have been created by him and for him. And he is before all things. And in him, in Christ, all things consist. In other words, all things hold together. Do you understand? John is saying, maybe you're here tonight, you don't know Jesus, and he's saying, even if you deny him, you do it with breath he gives you. Even if you're shaking your fist and saying, I don't believe Jesus is God, this is too much for my reason and my rational power and my intellect to comprehend, you're denying him with the brain cells he upholds. Jesus is God. Jesus is the eternal Word. He's the intimate Word. He's the equal Word. He's the creating Word. Number 5, he is the living Word. Keep reading. Look at verse 4. In him was life. What hope for a dying world. How tragic to hear about one of our couples here in the church recently watching a paraglider over at the God's window, cross cup, plunge to his death when the parachute failed. One moment, enjoying life. How many of us have lost people in auto accidents and other tragedies? In one second, alive as they could be, in the next moment, gone. It's a dying world. And if you don't have life in Christ, you're unprepared. You're not ready. You have no hope in the world to come. But in Christ, we don't need to fear. Whenever the Lord takes me now or then, sooner or later, slowly or instantly, I have life in Christ. And I'm ready to face death. In him was life. All in the life in the natural realm, all life in the spiritual realm. Children, what was the memory verse this week? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Jesus will not perish, but have everlasting, eternal, not just length of life, but a quality of life. Knowing God, to whom to know is life eternal. And then number 6, finally. Christ is, let's review, what is he? The eternal Word, the intimate Word, the equal Word, the creating Word, the living Word. Number 6, the shining Word. The shining Word. Keep reading there in verse 4. In him, Christ, the Word, was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. Oh, friends, not only is ours a dying world, it's also a dark world. Humanity is shrouded in darkness, blanketed in a thick, black, spiritual darkness, the darkness of sin and ignorance and evil, which brings bondage and guilt and death. As the Bible so often tells us, this thick veil of spiritual blindness that hangs over our world. And yet John declares with great confidence and wonderful hope and gospel power, John says, in Christ is life, and his life was the light of men. He was not only the life bringer, he was also the light bearer. What was the first thing God ever said in history? Genesis 1, let there be light. But long before that day, God's companion at his side was the Word, Jesus, the light of his own dear Son. That's why Jesus could say later in John 8, verse 12, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Kids, go into the darkest room you can find, with your parents' permission, of course. Maybe not tonight. Darkest room you can find. Just wait for the next load shedding. And put on a torch, or with permission, light a match. Who wins every time? Darkness or light? Every time. The light. Darkness flees. Light speaks. Light wins. Light conquers. Now listen again to what the Bible says. Jesus, the light, shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. The darkness runs from the light of Christ. When he went to the cross, he said, this hour is the power of darkness. At Calvary, hell threw everything it had at Jesus. Satan's dark domain with all his dominions pulled out all the stops, but God's light could not be extinguished, right? Death and darkness could not hold him. On the third day, Jesus rose, and his light flooded that tomb, and he walked out of his own grave, and he spreads his light across the world to this day. And tonight, you can have that light. When you confess your darkness, and you repent of your sin, and you admit your blindness, and you turn and come to Jesus, the light who died for sinners, the light whom God raised, to prove that his sacrifice for sin had been accepted and that you can be forgiven and you can come out of the darkness and you can know the light, the Lord Jesus Christ. We are running a course here starting in 2 weeks' time that we do on a regular basis, and some of you might even be interested in a Christianity Explained course that we run on a Sunday morning at 8 o'clock starting on the 14th. You can even sign up at our clipboard at the information table afterwards, or bring a friend. It's a great course to learn who is Jesus, what kind of light does he bring, how can I get out of the darkness I am in and discover real life, real light, true salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. We would be delighted. Don't even wait until the course starts in 2 weeks. Speak to me, speak to any one of the leaders here in the club or any of our members tonight and ask, how can I know Jesus, the light of the world, in the midst of this dark world? Let's pray. Please bow your heads. Our gracious Father, O God, you who are light, thank you for Jesus, who is light incarnate. We praise you, O God, that your eternal Son, the forever Word, ever living at your right hand, creating, rejoicing, delighting in you, worshiping you, from eternity past, we rejoice that the Word, as John goes on to say, became flesh. That the eternal Son of God took on a second nature of humanity so that he might die for our sins, for my sins. And that you might on the third day raise him to prove that you had accepted his payment for our sin. That we could be reconciled to you and brought out of death into life, out of darkness into the light of the Lord Jesus Christ. Forgive us for our small thoughts of Jesus, our domesticated, tame, little Christ. Replace those idols and those lies with the true Jesus of the Bible, the Jesus of eternity, the Alpha and Omega that the kids have been singing about this week, the majestic Son of God, eternal, intimate with you, equal with his Father, creating all things, alive, shining even this very hour in this dark world through the light of his gospel. Oh Lord, we praise you for your Son, our Savior, the Word made flesh, Jesus, the Son of God, the only one who can save us from our sins. Oh, come let us adore him, Christ the Lord, in his great and life-giving and saving name we pray all these things. Amen.